Praise the Lord. Good morning, brother and sister.
Good morning.
Once again, we have a English Sunday worship, and we are in the fifth month. We are faithfully serving the Lord and pray that through these English Sunday worships, they will reach out to more who are English speaking, that they will come to the Lord and expand the kingdom of God. Let's pray before we begin. Father God, we thank you, we praise you. You are highly honored and you are gracious. Thank you so much for giving us your word, Lord. Thank you so much for giving everything that we need. The clothes, the shelters, and food. And Lord, we are thankful. It's the grace of God that have given to us, that Lord, while we are still sinners, the grace of God saved us, came to the world, and redeemed our sins, and paid the penalty of sins, that we can be redeemed, that we can have this new life to live for you. It's your grace that you work in us today until the day we see you face to face. Thank you so much for your word this morning. Thank you so much that we can come to praise you, to worship you. And it's a grace that we can come before the throne of grace to receive mercy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Today, Lord, we want to know more about you, than what you want to say to us. Give us our tender heart to hear your words, O Lord. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to read to you a daily devotional that I received from a Family Life. If you all know Family Life, hosted by Dennis Rainey, Bob Lipin. It's about marriage and family life. And he say, it's always dangerous to make assumptions. I'm reminded of the businesswoman who found herself with an extra hour of airport downtime. So the airport downtime. So she bought a magazine, a coffee, and a small package of cookies. She prepared to pass the time as best she could in the crowded waiting time. So she was drinking coffee, read a magazine, and she has a small package of cookies with her. She was very focused on her reading. So she reached over and picked up her cookies to eat. To her great surprise, a stranger, 2 seats over, reached into the same package of cookie and began eating the second cookie. And she was surprised. Why? She tried to ignore it. And a stranger eating the cookie in the package. Only after 20 minutes quiet time, then she reached in to take the third cookie in that package. Then the stranger took the fourth. And then the man picked up the near empty package cookie in there. And she told the women, "Would you like another one?" The women angrily marched off and went to the airline gate, reaching into her bag for her boarding pass, and found out that there's one and an open package of cookie in her purse. Why I want to tell you this? Because her anger has been based on wrong assumptions. Actually, she was eating her own. She was eating somebody's package of cookies. She assumed that a package of cookies belongs to her. Some assumptions are much dangerous than that. For example, for daily saving time, I assume that we have 1 extra hour. That's very dangerous. If we have 1 extra hour, I won't be here until 10:30. So some sister remind me that, oh, no, we don't have enough, 1 more hour. We have less 1 hour. For example, assumptions like a person may never have actually taken the step of faith to receive Jesus Christ as his personal savior. And the person may assume that her good work will get him into heaven. Or another person may think that she is a Christian simply because she was brought up in a Christian home and she has Christian parents. Or she thinks that, oh, by being grow up in a Christian home, I have a place in heaven. When I was young, I went to church. I thought that, oh, by going to church, serve in the church, automatically I have the ticket into heaven to see Jesus. But no, Jesus said no. According to a research, I did some research, about half of people in America who attend service at churches here say that religion is not important or somewhat important in their life. This might suggest to me that about half of them, many of them not Christian, and they assume that because they simply go to church, they think that, I can get a ticket to heaven. If I ask you a question today, are you a Christian? What would your answer be? Or I ask you, are you sure you have eternal life? How would your answer be? For those of us who are Christian, are we certain that on our salvations, are we certain that we are saved? We have the ticket to go to heaven, to see Jesus. Today I'm going to read a passage about a man who came to Jesus and asked Jesus about eternal life. As we look into this passage this morning, I encourage all of us to take a deep look into our life and see how does this passage apply to our life. Let's turn to the book of Mark, chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Verse 17 to 27. Shall we read together? 1, 2, 3. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all this I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad, because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciple, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciple were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eyes of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When I was young, I was very energetic and served in a youth group as an actor in a drama. And I like to do a lot of sketch. When I read the Bible, I like to visualize how was Jesus doing there? How was this young fellow came to Jesus? I want to describe for you a scene. There were many people. As we remember, Uncle Tony just read to you the background of Mark chapter 10, verse 17, the rich man. The background was, there were many people with Jesus. His disciples were there. And then, Some people want to bring children to Jesus. And his disciples say, no, don't. Jesus does not accept children. And Jesus said, Jesus was very frustrated, indignant, and told the disciples, let the children come to me, for this is the kingdom of God. Jesus, what did Jesus say? Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as this. I tell you the truth. Anyone who does not, who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So Jesus took the child and blessed the children. And at that time, as Jesus was about to set off, suddenly a man ran, I don't know how, what's the speed. Quickly, Jesus was about to set off, and she ran to Jesus and kneeled down before Jesus. And what does he say? Jesus, teacher, good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? I Pharisee myself. There is only one good except God alone. Remember the commandments. Do not steal. Do not defraud. Do not commit murder. Honor your parents, your father and mother. And this young man, I believe he was still kneeling down before the teacher. He was very happy, I think. Oh, I have kept all this since I was a boy. And Jesus looked at him. And Jesus loved this young man. And said to this young man, go and sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. And this young man, oh Jesus, I thought I satisfied your requirement. He was very sad, disappointed. Oh, sell all my possession and go broke. No money, no houses. What do I have? Give all my money away. He was very sad. And he went away. That's the story of the Mark chapter 10, 17 to 27. He went away without receiving Jesus into his life. In verse 17, it says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him. Today, I want you to focus on Mark 10, 17 to probably verse 22. I want you to go through it with me, verse by verse. I'm going to pay very attention to each verse. And the title of my preaching this morning is One Thing. One Thing. So verse 17, As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knee before him. We see a man came before Jesus. What can you conclude about this man? What can you say about this man? Anyone answer? What can you say about this man? Anyone? He's in a hurry. No, how about the character about this man? How old? What he's doing? Anyone? Huh? He didn't tell enough. But we know he is rich. He is rich. He probably has inherited from parents or from being a ruler. Remember, this passage also occurred in the book of Matthew and Luke. And in the book of Luke, chapter 18, it tells us that he is a ruler. He's a well-respectable ruler. He's an educated man in a synagogue. And this story also occurred in the book of Matthew chapter 19. And he is young, probably 25 to 40 years old. He has many potential years after him. So we can see that this man, he is rich, he is young, and he is a ruler. Rich, young, and a ruler. I think the subject of your Bible says he is rich, the rich young man. You probably don't know where's the rich young, where's the young character come from the other books of the Bible. And he has power. I would say 3P. He has power. He has possessions. He has potential. I don't know how many people in United States can you name of who is rich, powerful, and young. I think I'm out for sure, because I'm not rich. Probably I'm young, but I'm not a ruler. So I just have one of the three criteria. I'm young. I remember Facebook, the CEO Mark Zuckerberg. He's young, 27 years old, and he's rich too. But he's not a ruler. How about President Obama? He's a politician, rich, but he's old. That's not satisfy. 50 years old. 50. He's not really young anymore. So we see that this rich young ruler in this passage has almost everything. 3P. Potential, power, and possession. But he is unsettled with one thing. Therefore, he must get clarification from Jesus. So he went to Jesus, wanted to see Jesus, to seek answer from him. And in verse 17 say, he ran up to Jesus and fell down before Jesus and asked Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Remember that there were many people at that time. But this young man was bold enough to resist public humiliation before people. He kneeled down before so many people. Can you imagine that you and I did that in front of many people in the public or kneel down? No, we probably not. But this young man did that. Can you imagine politicians, a young ruler, I was thinking of maybe the governor of Missouri. Do you know who's the governor of Missouri? Jay Nixon. Yeah. Kneel down in front of Jesus. In front of so many people. But this young man didn't really care how other people think of him. He ran out and kneeled before him. The phrase, he ran out, tell us that this young man had something very urgent to ask Jesus. He was desperate, wanting to get an answer from Jesus. We also see that this young man was very humble and kneeled down before Jesus. Instead of standing up before Jesus and ask Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He kneeled down before Jesus. Perhaps I was thinking, if he come before Jesus and he has sickness and ask Jesus to heal him, perhaps it's good reason for him to kneel down before Jesus for Jesus to heal him. But asking a simple question about eternal life and he kneel down in front of everybody, there's humiliation. And he has a very humble heart and bold enough to confront other people. In addition, this young man came to Jesus with a very sincere address. Good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? To this man, eternal life is very important to him. Having eternal life was of his greatest concern. He had everything in the world. 3P, riches. Three P just now I mentioned. He has rich, he has power, a useful age, But he was not sure about eternal life. Actually, after I read this passage, I'm very impressed about this young man. He was concerned about his afterlife, the life after death. He was preparing for that. Can you think of how many rich and powerful people today are concerning about their life after death? Not just the rich people, many people today are not thinking about that. Not thinking about eternity. The people today are wrapped up about food, clothing, riches, activities, sport, party, everything that people today are busy with. Not about God, not about eternity. And that reminds me of a well-known freestyle ski in Canada. If you know a ski, you know her name probably. Her name was Sarah Burke. According to her friends and family around her, she was always happy, positive, kind, and outgoing. And people loved her very much. But skiing and going to Olympic was more important to her than anything else. She did not want to slow down her career, even though she had accomplished much in her athletic career. She had won a lot of gold medals. And she introduced a game in skiing that will be included in Olympic 2014 for the first time. But then something happened to her in January of this year. She injured during the training and died in January at the age of 29. Her life was wrapped up about skiing and going to Olympic, but nothing was mentioned in her life about God and eternity. It's very sad. Are you concerned about your life after that? I think it's very important for us to know that we are saved. Second thing I want to point out, the young man addressed Jesus as good teacher. Let's see, verse 18. Why do you call me? Verse 17. Good teacher, he asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And verse 18, Jesus say, why do you call me good? Jesus answer, why do you call me good? Well, what would be your assumptions be if someone say to you, Uncle Tony, good teacher, what can I do to do this or do that? What would your answer be? Thank you. I would say thank you so much for the blessing. But Jesus say, why do you call me good? Oh, there's only one is good except God alone. The term good in this context is very unusual. If we know the history of the Bible and from the historical background. And this word good apply only to God only. For Jewish rabbi at that time did not allow the word good to apply to them. So we get the impression that this young man, this young ruler was trying to flatter Jesus. And Jesus did not deny that he was good, but he affirmed it. Only God is good. I know I'm God. Jesus wanted to be sure that this young man knew what he was saying. Because no one is good except God alone. He wanted him to think that what he was saying, do you think that if you think that I'm God, then accept what I say. Accept the my responsibility that I'm going to say to you. And he wanted him to know that there's no one good except God alone. And the Bible says in the book of Romans, no one is good in the eyes of God. Let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 11. Chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. There is, as is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good. Not even one. Not even one. So in the eyes of God, there's no one who does good except God alone. And why does this young people say to you, good? He wants this young man to know that there's only one that is good. That is Jesus. And then in verse 19, Jesus replied. Verse 19 again, Jesus replied, no one is good except God alone. And he said to him, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. These are actually the five commandments of the Ten Commandments from the book of Exodus chapter 20. Actually, do not defraud and do not steal can be considered in the same category. And this man, after hearing what Jesus say, oh, Jesus, all this I have kept since I was a boy. I have kept all this. From his answer, we know that this young man was not only rich, young and powerful. Actually, he was also a faithful, obedient, and well-behaved young man. And he was well-raised, educated Jewish. According to a Jewish custom, this young man is accountable for his own actions when he was 13 years old and they become an adult. So this young man, right now probably at the age of 25, so he has kept the law for many years, 18 years or 20 years. So remember that he kept the law, the four commandments or five commandments from the Bible for many years. He was very devoted to his Jewish religions. I do not know how many of us that can obey the commandments or walk on it, did not violate the commandments of God. I know we do not murder. We don't commit adultery. We don't steal or perhaps make false testimony. How about defraud or trickery? Children, so how about disobedient to parents? Wow, this young man did all. He honored his parents all this time, never violated the command. He's a good, excellent kid. I'll call this kid, young man, A++. A+. But Jesus is an all-knowing God. He knew everything about this man even before he came to him. Jesus knew that this young man had kept the commandments listed in verse 19. Actually, if we read carefully, these five commandments has to deal with human relationship. It's between people. People, you see that? It's like morality. But these five commandments does not have to deal with God. And so it can be seen very easily through his outward character and his relationship with other people, and they can verify that he is a good kid. But within God, we really do not know the Bible. But later on, we know what is his relationship with God. So this Jesus knew very well that this young man did not see himself as a condemned sinner before the Holy God. And he knew this young man measure obedience only by external action and not by inward attitude at all. And his actions tell us that he is blameless outwardly, but inwardly he is not. And Jesus brought up the Ten Commandments to show him, to help him realize that he was a sinner too as well. And then let's look at what Jesus said to this young man in verse 21. Jesus looked at him and loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. You have kept everything, but you lack one thing. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Look at the phrase, Jesus look at him and love him. Wow, Jesus show affections, show compassion, love, affection to this young man. This is actually the only time in the Bible that Jesus show affection to someone, to a young man that who has not decided to follow Jesus, who has not decided, who has not commit his life to Jesus. This is the first time. I know in the gospel, Jesus said to his disciple, John, the believer disciple that Jesus loved. How about Mary and Lazarus and Martha? Jesus loved them. And of course, Jesus loved all the disciples. And John 3:16, Jesus said that, God said that He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But this is the only time in the book of Gospel that Jesus said to this man, I love you. Wow. Jesus loved this young man because he was well behaved and disciplined Jewish man. And he had kept the commandments since he was 13 years old. So that would be like about 12 years of time he didn't violate the commandments. He's a righteous man. He's a good man in the eyes of many people, but he lacked one thing. You lack one thing. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. And the next word said, At this the man's face fell. He went away sad, because he had great wealth. What do you think is the problem here? What do you think Jesus asked this young rich man to sell all that he has and give it away to the poor? What do you think? Well, Jesus can say to this young man, you can sell your livestock. You can sell your cows and horse. You can sell your... let go of your career, but keep your house. You can stay. But Jesus says, sell everything that you have. Because he kept something for himself. His heart was not with Jesus. He had not given his heart to Jesus yet. Because remember, he did not have God in his life. He obeyed just 4 of the commandments. He forgot about the first commandments. What is the first commandments? Children? Teenager? You shall have no other gods before me. He violated the first commandment. He is a sinner. Well, it's his God. This young man has placed money above Jesus. Hourly, it seems that this young man is blameless, has kept all the commandments, but inwardly he has broke the first and most important one. He lacked this one thing. He lacked his faith in Jesus. He did not surrender his life to Jesus. He did not place Jesus first before anything else. So he was unwilling to put God first above other things. This young man had all the things the world can afford, but he missed out one single thing which Jesus desired. What a pitiful man. And Jesus cannot lower his standard to accept him. Well, that's okay. Come and follow me. I accept you. You still can keep your house, but come and follow me. Jesus did not lower his standard. Jesus wanted to add him as his disciple, but he can't sacrifice his possessions to follow me. Jesus did not accept him. And this week, I read a very interesting news from Yahoo. It's very interesting. A 25 years old young man named Scott. He won the Cowtown Marathon in Fort Worth, Texas. He finished the run with 2 hours, 31 minutes and 40 seconds. If you are a marathon runner, you probably know it's very fast. 2 hours, 31 minutes and 40 seconds. Scott ran so fast that his number runner-up competitor was trailing more than 6 minutes behind him. Yet when He crossed the finish line. He was confronted by the race official. He was stripped of his title. Why? Because he lacked of one thing. What do you think he was stripped of his title? Any guess? Huh? Cheating? Yeah. Good guess. Anyone? He lacked of paperwork. He desired for the runner. So it turned out that Scott, this man, never registered for the race. And he was using the bib, you know, the runner, you have a bib, a cloth, and put a number. He borrowed from his friend. His friends cannot come, so he borrowed from his friend, and he put it on him. So he ran for the marathon, and he won the gold medal, but his gold medal was disqualified. I was thinking, Scott is just like this young man in the Bible. He ran, but he did not get what he wants, the eternal life. But this young man in Mark chapter 10 is worse than Scott. The young man in the Bible wasted all his life of obeying the commandments, but he lacked this one thing that Jesus desired of him. That is, surrender his life to Jesus, placing him before everything else. As a result, so he was disqualified, having an eternal life. For those of us, among us who have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, is there one thing that hindering you from following Jesus? Is there one thing that holding you back, that inviting Jesus into your life? Is there one thing that you are not willing to give up in order to become a Christian? Surrender to Jesus means that one puts Christ first in all things before everything else. If well, friends, education, school, a family hinder our devotions to Christ in our daily life, then it has to be dealt with. That means surrender to Jesus. Many of us here are already Christian. We may think that this passage does not apply to us at all, since we already have eternal life. But you know that the faith in Jesus Christ requires undivided commitment to Jesus. I want you to focus on that, this word. Come and follow me. Come and follow me. Jesus does not say, come or follow me. Jesus does not use the or. She said, and. It's a concurrent actions. And doing at the same time. Come and follow me to this society. Come and accept Jesus as your Savior. And then let's think about it, whether to follow Jesus. See whether I want to follow the commandments of God. Or maybe Jesus, I cannot fit into agenda. I cannot give up certain habit in my life or lifestyle. I cannot give up partying in my life. How about Jesus, you fit my agenda? But Jesus said, come and follow me. Discipleships at that time is equal to having faith in Jesus Christ. It's not separate, it's togetherness. Come and follow me. That is discipleship and having faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus required undivided commitment to Him. Jesus wants solid commitment from His follower. Beware that, I want to point out that Jesus does not require everyone to sell their house. Everyone. Jesus' demand is not universal for everyone. Just only for this young man. Because he hold on to his wealth. Do not let go. So that's why Jesus required him to sell his house. He wants us, his disciple, to surrender our life to Jesus by putting Him first before everything else. Brother and sister, did you put Jesus into your life? Are there idols in your life. Jesus, one radical Christian. Jesus does not want wishy-washy Christian. I call it C++ Christian. Jesus wants A++ Christian. Undivided commitment. Follow Him. Obey His way and being the salt and light to the world. Christianity is not receive a cheap grace from God. The grace is free, but it's costly to Jesus that He died on the cross. Christianity is not a lukewarm Christianity. It's a radical Christianity. I would like to play a video that to you that it focuses on radical obedience to God by being the salt and light of the world. I want to play the video.
The mantra of the American dream is to advance yourself. With hard work, ingenuity, innovation, you can have it all. The frightening reality of the gospel. Jesus does call us to give up everything we have. And He may tell any one of us. The mantra of the American dream is to advance yourself. With hard work, ingenuity, innovation, you can have it all. The frightening reality of the gospel. Jesus does call us to give up everything we have. And He may tell any one of us to sell all of our possessions and give them to the poor. But we don't believe this. If we form Jesus to look like us and be who we want Him to be, then even when we gather together and sing our praises and lift our hands, the reality is we are not worshiping the Jesus of the Bible. We are worshiping and singing to ourselves. We have a master who demands radical obedience. A mission that warrants radical urgency. And we do not have time to waste our lives living out a Christian spin on the American dream. The most glorious reason you exist is for the proclamation of the glory of God to the ends of the earth. And it's more than having a nice life. It's about giving our lives and our families and our jobs for the proclamation of the glory of Christ to the ends of the earth. If we're going to live for the sake of 4.5 million lost people and thousands and thousands and thousands of kids who are dying every day, they don't have food on their table, then that means radical change in our lives, our families, and the church. Church, we are plan A, and there is no plan B.
We are plan A, not plan B. What I wanted to tell you this morning is, what's the one thing that you lack? Come to Jesus. For those who have not accepted Jesus into their life, what is the one thing? Jesus said, you lack of me. For us who are Christian, Jesus requires to have undivided commitment to follow Him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You. We praise You. That Lord, You are so gracious. Came to the world to save our life, so that we can enter into eternal life, to spend eternity with You. Thank You for the grace You have given us. Father God, there are many, some people here this morning, little one, older one, who have not accepted You as their personal Savior yet. Father, we pray that we speak to them directly through Your Word. That Lord, You will tell them that You are the Son of God, came to the world to save their life. They will come to You, Lord, accept that they are sinners saved by grace. Accept You, Jesus, into their life. Father, Lord, for us who are Christian, Lord, Father, we pray that we will not waste neglect the grace of God, taking the grace of God for granted. Father, we pray that we live according to the grace of God that you have given to us, that we live a life that is pleasing to you, honor to you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.